Let us remember that as we listen to God's law, the God of Jacob is for us a refuge, strong and sure, a refuge in Jesus Christ. As we come before the Lord, the law of the Lord, we remember that we are sinners and in need of that refuge that is strong and sure, whose name is Jesus Christ. Let us listen to God's law, Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And in response, let us now sing Psalter 330, stanza 1 and 4. This is God's holy and inspired and inerrant word. Let us give our diligent attention to his word. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son? And what, the son of my womb? And what, the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall not heed need of spoil. She will do him good and no evil, not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships, and she bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it, With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up, and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, in a glorious palace in Jerusalem sits a mother. Before her sits a son. Her son, Lemuel, another name most likely for Solomon. There she sits with her boy, a young man, somewhere close to his teens, soon to be a king, and soon to be ruling over the country. Son, his mother said, don't forget your name. Your name is Lemuel. That means you're set apart. God calls you to be different, my son. God calls you to be a king. And therefore you need wisdom. Listen to what I say to you. Keep on writing those copies of the law, as Deuteronomy 17, verse 17 tells you, Lemuel. And don't forget how these things, the word of God especially, will make you wise. I love you, my son. And I want to warn you. There are two things that are bad for kings. Destructive for sons of kings. First, if you waste your strength with alcohol. And second, if you waste your strength with wrong women. Never forget, my son, you're set apart to serve the Lord. And I just imagine that at that moment, at that point, Lemuel looks his mother in the eyes and says, yes, Mom, I desire to serve the Lord. I want to stay away from things that are destructive like alcohol. And what about woman? What should I look for then? How should I know what is a good queen? And his mom answers, well, let me think about that for a moment. I will write you a poem. And the poem is about an ideal woman, my son, and I will give you some good advice, and I will make it so that you can remember it. Every sentence it starts with a different letter of the alphabet so that you can memorize it and keep it in mind wherever you go so that you can be reminded of what you need to look for in the next queen. Call it the A to Z of a good queen, my son. And here we are, 4,000 years later, approximately, Mother's Day 2020, and we open our Bibles here in Proverbs 31. And that's the poem that we have in front of us. And our text is verse 30. And there we see that the mother's impact has had a big impact on her son, Lemuel. We don't know for sure if it was Solomon, but many suspect so. And he has learned things from his mother. We know that if it was Solomon, that he also didn't always follow it. But what he has done for us, he has written it down for us so that we can benefit from it. This is the word of God now to us. Through it, the Lord speaks and teaches us wisdom. And our text is from that last part, the last few verses. And these last few verses, they really summarize the poem. What is the bottom line? Now, I know that when women read this poem, many of you might feel overwhelmed. And you think, this is too high, too lofty. I can never reach that. You might be discouraged when you think about this chapter. I hope not, but maybe there are some young girls who say, well, the world looks far more attractive to me. Forget about this. But I hope that there are also, I hope every young woman that says, I really desire to be what God wants me to be. And I trust, therefore, that you will learn and listen. But perhaps there are some women who go around the wrong way with this poem. They grit their teeth and say, I'm confident, I'm getting close. That's not what this poem should do either. And it shouldn't also, the other side, well, it's so high, I can't reach it, it's unhelpful to me. Can be like that, it's too hard, I give up. Let me read something from one woman who responded to this poem and understood it better when she understood it in the context as we opened with this little story. I read Proverbs 31 and felt overwhelmed by the ability, strength, and knowledge of the seemingly perfect wife. It might have helped me if I had realized that Proverbs 31 that 31 woman wasn't a real person, but rather a portrait of an ideal woman given to the young men looking for a wife. All I could fixate on was that I, and this is what she says, my ability to sew, inability to sew a button on my shirt, and how every plant I ever tried to grow died, how I was still learning the basics of cooking, how I was scared to drive on icy roads, and I hardly felt I had wisdom to share for all of life's situations. And then she ends this with this. I was far from measuring up. Perhaps that resonates with some of our women this morning. I don't measure up. But our text is that one verse in the summary that really should change that kind of perspective on this poem. Because ultimately it boils down to one thing. The Proverbs 31 woman, who she is and what she does, comes down to one thing. And if that one thing, by the grace of God, is there, it puts the whole rest of the list in the right perspective. Only one thing. And that's not just true for women. That's even true for men. There's only one thing that we men need too. Boys, girls, every one of us. Every Christian. One thing that empowers us to be what we ought to be, whether we are women or men or whoever. One thing. What is it? Let's discover that from our text. Our title of the sermon is Praise for Godly Women. First of all, why she shouldn't be praised, and secondly, why she should be praised, and third, who will praise her? Why she shouldn't be praised, why she should be praised, who will praise her? Those are the three thoughts. So our culture, beloved, wants to paint a picture of womanhood that is totally the opposite what we read here in Proverbs 31. What is the picture that our culture wants to paint for us and for women and for girls? She's slim, she's pretty, and she must be able to be on the front cover of the magazine. She's free, and she's in control of her body, and she can do sexually whatever she wants. And even our culture in our perversion is even saying to girls, you want to be a boy. Don't go for children, our culture says. No, just take a few dogs. That's the diluted picture our culture paints for us. As if that's the ideal of what women should look like. But what does God say to us this morning? What does our text say about that? Well, let's listen. Proverbs 31, 30. Favor or charm, we can translate it as well, is deceitful. And beauty is vain, that is, passing. But a woman who feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Now, that's completely the opposite of what our culture talks about and what our culture values. And think about that. This was written so long ago. They had similar problems then. Men and women haven't changed much. And then already, many men and women were only focused on the outward. Children, think about it. It's Mother's Day today. Maybe you have given your gift yesterday or today, whatever you are used to. And your mother takes that gift and you have put it nicely in a beautiful wrapping paper. And you look at your mom and suddenly you realize she's fixed on the paper. Not on the gift. She opens the gift and she's so thankful for the paper. And she doesn't say anything of the gift that's in there. What would you think about that? I think you would be surprised, one. Don't think your mother does that. But that's the way the world looks at women. Their appreciation for women is skin deep, nothing more. It's only the wrapping paper. That's all about how she looks. It's all what the world can think about. That's the kind of idea that can easily also come to our church, the Christian church. And so that's why we need this text this morning, to teach us and to instruct us. Favor or charm is deceitful. Now, what does that mean, favor or charm? A woman or a girl that has this gift to draw attention to herself. Men are naturally attracted to the niceness of this woman. Manner of presenting herself is somehow attractive to men. And Lemuel's mother says to her son here, son, that is not what you should be looking for in a woman. Because that's simply deceitful. That's a sham, in other words. That's only skin deep. Don't focus on that, my son. And women, let us not focus on that either. It's a lie to believe that who you are is what you look like. It's a lie. That's not what defines the real you. Now, some can therefore also go to the opposite extreme and say, well, then outward appearance doesn't matter anything. No, look at this poem and you see that she cares for her family and dresses them all nicely. Well-dressed, modestly dressed, that is. And we are to dress ourselves in a way that doesn't attract undue attention to ourselves and to our body. We are dressing to cover ourselves because God is holy and we are sinners. And so our text tells us those women for which a man's head might be turning and a young man might talk about her, God says, I'm not impressed. Because being nice, having the attention of men, can go together with a very deceitful and deceptive and ungodly and proud heart. In fact, our text tells us something else about the things men ought to not to focus on in women, and women should not give excessive attention to either. What is it? Beauty, it says. Beauty is vain. So only the outward beauty is vain. That's not what we should focus on, whether we are men or women. It is vain. What does that mean? It's fleeting. It's passing. It's the same word that we hear when Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, vanity of vanities, it's all vanity. That word is used here. And that word means a vapor. It's something that when you want to hold on to it, it escapes you. Isn't that true? Isn't that true as you get older? It doesn't do us any good when we are before the judgment throne of God, whether you're beautiful outwardly or whether you have favor. So girls, what are you focusing on? Favor, charm, beauty? It's deceitful. It has this potential to lie unto you. It's deceitful. It's soon over. Think about it. What about beauty when you die? Death doesn't leave anyone pretty. In Isaiah 3, it seems that there were many people in his day that were focused on outward beauty as well. He writes to all those who had all these different ways of making themselves beautiful, bracelets, perfumes, veils, rings, beautiful clothes, scarves, anklets, jewels and purses, and on he goes. He makes a whole list of those. And Isaiah tells, as long as you keep on focusing on those things and you have nothing else, if that's all you have, God is going to turn that upside down. Instead of sweet smells, there will be a stench. Instead of a beautiful hairdo, there will be baldness. Instead of rich robes, there will be sackcloth. Why? Because God knows that if we make those things our idol, that he doesn't get the glory and honor that he deserves, and that it leaves us inwardly empty. It leaves us empty if we focus on those things. And Isaiah saw all those women in his day, and he was basically saying the same thing as Proverbs 11, verse 22, as a jewel of gold is in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman with which is without discretion. Who is not wise, who doesn't have that one thing. Girls, women, if you have nothing more, you are not to be praised, but rather you are to be pitied. If you have nothing more, you're lost. And our text shows there's something much better. Much better. It speaks about real beauty. And it tells us why such a woman, such a girl, such a young lady should be praised. Let's look at that secondly, why she should be praised. We see this stark contrast in our text, don't we? We hear it. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Remember from last week, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All the way in the beginning of the book, this is very important. Here, all the way at the end of the book, like two bookends, and within the book, this is what it looks like. And here, summarizing, what does it look like? Here, you have a picture of what it looks like to be wise. And that's what our text is saying again. A woman who fears the Lord, this is bottom line. She shall be praised. So therefore, women, when you have been listening to this poem and you have been overwhelmed, have been thinking that that's too never possible, I won't even try to be like that, or you just are thinking about those thousands of times that you have failed or you have sinned or you have fallen short, or you perhaps are, some of you are thinking at times, well, the picture of the world is quite attractive. Feminism. Or worse, let me just be free. Let me just do what I want. Don't talk about submission. I just don't want to listen. Then the beauty of this poem, let it sink in for a moment. The fear of the Lord. That's exactly what we lost when Eve stretched forth her hand in paradise. She lost the fear of the Lord. The joy, the glory of serving the Lord, submitting to the Lord, knowing that He cares, knowing that He knows. And the fear of the Lord is what God wants to restore in our lives also, and to make a wise woman out of you. God wants to restore what is broken, and that's how you read this poem. With that in mind, listen now to God's idea what a wise woman looks like. I'm going to summarize. Verse 11, if you look at it, you will find, I put it in some different words, but it makes it possible for a woman to be trusted by her husband. When married, yes, but also when you're unmarried. People can trust you. It begins already there. Verse 12, it makes you loyal. Verse 13, it makes you dependable and diligent. Verse 14 through 15, we see that it makes you serving and caring well for the family, if you have a family, being an early riser and putting in long hours, it says there. It makes her thrifty and spend her money well. 16 through 19. Verse 20, makes her generous and desirous where you have opportunity to care for the needy. Verse 21, makes her anticipate the needs of others, especially her family. Verse 21. And then verse 23 is actually the heart of the poem. Her life finds her fulfillment in where God put her all the way back in the garden, to be a help meet to her husband. That's what we see here. Verse 23. Her diligent faithfulness frees the hands of her husband to do his calling well. And then we hear about the law of kindness in her lips. Verse 26. What does that mean? The law, the Torah, God's wisdom for life, is on her lips. And the kindness, that word is the word that is used for God's loving kindness. So what does she do? She instructs others in the word of God and speaks about the loving kindness of her Lord. That's her desire. That's what's on her lips. Now, if you're still overwhelmed as a woman here and wonder, how is this all possible? One answer. The fear of the Lord. That's the only answer. That's the answer for mothers. That's the answer for married women. That's the answer for unmarried women, for whoever. That's the answer for every Christian. We all have a calling. And we are all called to do these things in the fear of the Lord, with the wisdom that He supplies, with the Spirit that He wants to pour out upon us, as we heard last week. Whoever we are, we need this one thing. It's the fear of the Lord. Mary had chosen that one thing, to sit at the feet of the Lord and learn wisdom. That's what we need, to sit at the feet of Jesus. And that's why this law of kindness can be upon her lips, because she also sits at the feet of Jesus. How do you otherwise know these things? So it is the fear of the Lord that is the secret of this Proverbs 31 woman. Being in awe of His good wisdom and grace and mercy and His perfections. Even is that what you look for? Is that what you desire? Bless the Lord if it is so. Girls, is that what you're looking for? Or are you holding on to those things that are so fleeting, like a vapor? Try to hold on to air. You will find it doesn't give you any support. It only makes you uncertain inside. You need solid beauty. And that's inward beauty. That's the fear of the Lord. That brings stability to your life. Inner beauty, that is God who gives you a changed heart, who teaches you to trust Him, love Him, serve Him, and do what is right in His eyes. And do what delights Him, so that you do it for His praise. First Peter 3 verse 4 talks to us about this real beauty. What does it say about that? It's the beauty of the heart that not just women need, men too. The beauty of the heart. What is it? A meek and a quiet spirit. What does that mean? It means humility. It means submission to the Lord God, to His wisdom. For what it means to be a woman, or for that matter also for men. What does it mean to be a man after God's own heart? And such beautiful beauty, Peter says, is incorruptible. It's eternal. It goes beyond death. It lasts even when our body lies still in a coffin and it's not beautiful anymore. It is priceless in the eyes of God, that kind of beauty. It's beyond the price of rubies and gemstones. A woman who fears the Lord doesn't find her identity and value in what men think of her or what the world says she must look like or what she must do. Have a career, be free. No, a godly woman finds her identity in the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel and a personal relationship. Her heart is changed. A relationship with Him first and foremost, a relationship of faith, trust, love, prayer, submission to Jesus. Because who is Jesus to her? Her husband. She is His royal bride. And He is her king. You see that? A woman who fears the Lord is not a model of perfection. Instead, a woman who fears the Lord has learned something. Given up the battle to be perfect. She has seen the vanity of this world, and of beauty in trying to live that picture-perfect life. Yes, she wants to be what the Lord wants her to be, yes. But she's not striving to be perfect and to be praised in the first place. She's serving the Lord. She's serving the Lord. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear of the Lord begins with a confession of sin. And because we need a Savior, men and women, each one of us, we realize we are hopelessly lost without Christ, without His cross, and without His forgiveness. And we see beauty through God's Spirit working in our hearts. We see beauty in the one of whom we read that he had no beauty so as to be desired. You see, it's changed. We see beauty now in a man, our king, our husband, who was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows. And that's where we have found trust, hope. In that man from whom people hid their faces. And when you know the fear of the Lord, you realize and you wonder with verse 10, a virtuous woman who can find? It's not me, because you know your heart. You know your struggles. You know your sins. And that's exactly what Ecclesiastes 7 verse 28 says. One man among thousands have I found, but a woman among all those I have not found. Who is that one woman, children? Who is that? Who is that one man? Sorry. That one man out among thousands. Isn't it the Lord Jesus Christ? The beautiful Savior, the perfect Savior, the virtuous Savior, the one who never sinned, the one who always perfectly kept God's law. That's the man among thousands. It's Jesus Christ, it's His name. And He is everything a woman lacks, a man lacks, a boy lacks, a girl lacks. He is everything. He's beautiful. He's glorious. And His prize is above rubies. His price is blood red. He gave it on the cross as the spotless Lamb of God to die and to cleanse us from our sins and from our failures and from all those wrong conceptions that the world tries to cram into our heads. His prize is far above rubies. He fulfills. He fulfills what we don't have. He fulfills what this perfect woman needs to be. It's not outward beauty. It's not works that save us. It's that inner beauty that trusts in that one and only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, the perfect Son of God, who, when we marry Him, He makes us beautiful, He clothes us with His righteousness, and one day He will gloriously make us beautiful in His presence. Because we realize we are selfish, we go astray, we focus on the wrong things, we have an idolatrous heart. He is the fulfillment of this proverb because He is perfect. And He is also, interestingly, that King, that Son, that one set apart, Lemuel, one set apart by God. He is that one who seeks a bride for Himself, a sinful bride. Even now. And when you find Him, no, when He finds you, He fulfills everything that you and I don't have. And he puts in us his spirit that makes us beautiful inside and makes us like himself. Now, there's one more thing before we go to a last thought. There's one more thing that I want to highlight from this poem. And maybe it's good if you open your Bibles and look into it with me at the verses that I mentioned. Because when we are changed, whether we are man or husband, we have a battle to fight. And there's a battle right here in this poem. And this battle is, of course, because it's written about a woman primarily, it's a battle that we have to fight against sin and selfishness in our culture. And this poem then shows that this woman is a warrior on the battlefield. Look at verse 10. A virtuous woman. The word that is used here is valiant woman. That is often used for a soldier. Verse 11. There it speaks that her husband has no need of spoil. That's a decidedly military term. Spoil. That was what left after battle. Verse 17 tells us that she girds her loins with strength. Now that's a picture of someone who is a soldier who would get ready for heroic action, difficult action. And verse 25, there we read that she laughs at the future. It's like a victorious conqueror. She knows she will win. And in verse 29, there again, her husband declares that she has done virtuously, which means valiantly. All to say this to us, that being a woman is a battle, especially in our culture. Battle started right with that first promise. Eve took the fruit. And then God came and sought her. And he promised something. I will put enmity. Why? There's the seed of the serpent. And there's the seed of the woman. And that battle rages. It's the battle for the heart. And that battle, beloved, is won by Jesus Christ. And that's why she can win the battle. If you look, whether you're a woman or a man this morning, if you look to the battle that he has fought for us on Golgotha, if you look to the battle that he has finished, he is that one who came to crush the head of the serpent who constantly tries to bombard us with his ideas that lead to death. Jesus Christ, he came and he became flesh and was born of a woman. He became under the law to save us who have broken the law. He became obedient to that law. That's where the victory is. And a woman of faith looks to him and therefore in his victory can fight this battle. Can fight this battle. Knowing that he is your perfect savior, knowing that he fulfilled the whole law, knowing that he overcame sin and the devil, as you fight therefore in his power, as you fear the Lord, as you stand out in this culture, and as you stand up against the raging war of feminism in our culture, he it is that is making you strong. That requires the inner change of the heart. That requires trust. That requires courage, that requires the fear of the Lord. But be assured that such heroines who trust in Jesus Christ as their perfect hero will be praised. Let's look at that after we sing. Who will praise her? When you as a mom are teaching your children and doing the work as a homemaker and think much more praise, of the much more praise you could get if you could just have a job outside of the home, then simply remember Lemuel's mother. Think about it. She was instructing her son. Would she have ever thought that what she was doing would end up in the scriptures? What praise that Lemuel still remembered. What a praise it is that Lemuel still remembered what his mother taught him. The work of a mom is very, very important. And there will be praise for those women and reward for those who fear the Lord and seek to be faithful moms. Even when things seem to be so mundane. Listen to our text. A woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Who's going to praise her? Well, first of all, the children. Look at verse 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Children, young people, here's a question for you. Are you thankful for your mom? Are you praising your mom? Are you telling her regularly how much you appreciate what that she is always cooking the meals and that she does the laundry and she cleans the home and she reads you stories and she puts you to bed and she cleans regularly up the mess after you, right? Do you praise her? Do you thank her for that? Her children rise up and call her blessed. Young people, this is what it could look like. This was a letter written by a college student, a poem. A young woman and her mom had discussed things about what it means to be a biblical wife and roles of women and things like that. And she wrote a poem as a result. She went to her room and she wrote this poem, A Calling. I will read it to you. This is what it can sound like. I know a woman who lived a truth she found in Proverbs 31. And as she lived, she proclaimed it with all her being. Arise, woman, you can be beautiful as God created you to be. Surrender your lives to the task, O woman. O women, she's talking to more than her mom. We are here to serve Him, that is God, with a capital H. Give your hands to comfort and prepare, your mouth to teach and your arms to bear. The weight of your children's woes be the fuel of your husband's flame and help him cast its light. And be the one on bended knees. You are God's precious bride. So go to the Father to find who you are and not to the world of deception. For He has a beauty to make out of you. So surrender. Surrender. While our world is quickly extinguishing all that we women long to be, I see one who stands unyielding in God's truth and grace and plan. Truth with no excuses. What is a woman of God? What is the call to motherhood? What does it mean to be a godly wife who serves? I don't really know. But have you met my mother? Have you met my mother? And then she signed it with this. You are my inspiration to someday be selfless and humble. A mother who knows why she is a mother and does it with joy. Thank you. I love you. An example of a daughter who rises up and calls her mother blessed because she fears the Lord. But second, children will not be the only ones who stand up No, her husband also, verse 28b. And he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, he says, but you excel them all. You're the best. Husbands, you see the question coming, right? Are you valuing your wife? Does she know? Do you tell her? Here, this husband in this poem rises up and says, you are the best. You are the best. Don't just assume that she knows. Tell her. Tell her. I was so encouraged last Friday night when we talked at the decades meeting. Several men, without knowing that I would preach about this text, rose up and called their women blessed. So it's happening. Wonderful. Could not compliment just her beauty, but what she does. And that's what we see next. Thirdly, there's some more praise in verse 31. Let her own works praise her in the gates. Now, what does that mean? The gate was the place where the community came together. So what is it saying? It's saying that the community, even the church, we could say, recognizes what she does. Not what she looks like, but what she does and how she does it and how she does it in the fear of the Lord. That's why it says, let her own works praise her in the gates. But maybe there's someone here this morning who says, I will lose out. My husband won't. Or I'm single. Even if you are single your entire life, but you fear the Lord, even if you have never had children to rise up and stand and say, Mom, thank you. She's not going to lose out. She's not going to lose out in the next world. And that's the most important. That's what she's focused on. The next world. The praise of God over her life. That's much more important than anyone else praising you. And there, every believing woman will find their heavenly husband, her gracious King, her Lord Jesus. Beautiful beyond compare, precious above any price. And when you will enter as a God-fearing woman into the gates of heaven, he will stand there. He will wait for you. And he will say, well done, good and faithful servant, my precious bride, enter into the joy of the Lord. And she will rise up and she will call him blessed. It's all of you. She will cast her crown before him, before her precious husband, as the bride of Jesus Christ. And she will rise up and call Jesus blessed forever. She will ascribe all glory and beauty to Jesus, her bridegroom, because only through his perfect life, only through his suffering, only through his death, only through his resurrection, she was made beautiful in her heart. Amen.